Okay, so get this right. We are going to dive into some minutes from the 2024 Winter Summit. Yeah, for the majors,
Ooh.
which I know sounds like some kind of like a big, like intense professional
Yeah,
sports league,
it
bro.
does, yeah. But think less like, professional athletes and more like passionate amateurs with a really, really fascinating subculture. And these minutes, they are packed with the history and the traditions and some pretty heated debates.
Oh, I do love a good debate.
Yeah.
So what kind of stuff are we talking about here? Give me the highlights. Like, what are we going to be getting into?
Well, we're going to be talking about handicaps.
Okay.
There is a very mysterious rule called the Dode conjecture, a plan for a giant mural, and even like a sponsor crisis that could really shake things up financially for the majors. There's a lot to unpack.
Okay, well, let's unpack it. Let's imagine we are right there in the room with them, listening to this all unfold. So, first of all, tell me, where does this meeting take place?
This all goes down at the GameStop back parlor at Industria Peoria.
Ooh, very official sounding.
Right. And they make sure that everyone can enjoy themselves, thanks to the ever important Uber, for free and open consumption of adult beverages.
Okay, excellent. Always important.
Yeah.
So, how does it actually kick off? What happens in those first few minutes?
It actually starts with a little bit of controlled chaos. Everyone's kind of finding a seat, the music's a little loud. A few people are running late. They're even having to hand out pencils. It's a very casual, almost informal vibe to it.
Love it. Okay. So once they finally settle down, what's first on the agenda?
Well, they have this tradition called the airing of grievances, where anyone can basically voice their complaints, like a Festivus for the rest of us,
All
right?
right, you love it.
You see things like confusion over Discord membership,
Okay.
arguments over the accuracy of the money list,
Yeah.
and even someone complaining that there are too many people at the meeting.
That's hilarious. But it sounds like they move on pretty quickly from the griping.
Yes, once those initial grievances are out of the way, it transitions very smoothly into the business of the majors. This is where they review the past year and then they start planning for the future.
Okay, so what were some of the big wins from the year? What did they accomplish?
Well, they made a total of $4,330 in winnings, which brings the all-time winnings total to $78,100.
Okay.
They're also approaching their 100th major event, which is a pretty big milestone for the majors.
Yeah, that's huge.
And of course, they have their, awards, for Player of the Year and Rookie of the Year, though there is some debate about whether, someone can be Rookie of the Year twice in a row.
That's interesting.
Which I guess is a topic for another day.
I guess rules are made to be broken or at least debated.
Yeah.
So once they have patted themselves on the back for the year, that was what are they looking ahead to?
Well, they do a deep dive into each of their major events. First up is the Unfrozen Caveman, or as they call it, the UFC.
The UFC. I love it.
They're thinking about using a new scorekeeping app called Squabbit. But admit that it is untested, which is kind of funny. There's also discussions about, adding a team pudding contest, and then potentially changing some of the traditional formats, at their regular courses.
A lot of potential changes on the horizon.
Yeah, and one thing they did decide was to, stick to 18 holes a day for most events instead of the usual 36. The only exception will be the Astronaut Jones Cup, which, by the way, has its own set of interesting
Oh, I
traditions.
love it. Like what? Give me the scoop.
Well, the Team Peoria captain insists on wearing half-length fishnets as part of their uniform.
Okay, that's amazing. I'm
Yeah.
picturing that right now. That's going to my head. What else do we need to know about the Astronaut Jones Cup? Anything else interesting happening there?
There is this ongoing saga of the missing AJC stickers. Apparently, they're supposed to go on the restroom walls, but no one seems to know where they are or who is responsible for putting them up.
That's classic. That is so classic. I love it. It sounds like they have so much fun with these events. But I imagine things get a little more serious when they start talking about money.
Right, absolutely. They actually have a big financial challenge looming. One of their major sponsors, Mike Miller Auto Park, is retiring, which means they need to find a new sponsor and a new name for the cup. They're brainstorming some pretty hilarious options, though, like lips on Brad's cup.
Okay, I need to know what goes in that
Probably good,
blank.
yeah.
But on a serious note, losing a sponsor, that must be so stressful. Did they come up with any solutions?
Well, they're optimistic that they can find a replacement, but it's definitely going to be a hurdle. They even discuss introducing gambling as a way to bring in more revenue, but ultimately decide to stick to skill-based games for now.
I like it. Sticking to their principles, even when they are facing this financial pressure. I like that a lot. What else is causing them headaches? Anything else? Any other big issues?
Well, they have a player who keeps changing their ID, which is causing problems for the website, for scorekeeping, even for Discord. They refer to it as willy-nilly ID changes.
I bet that's annoying.
And it is a serious point of contention.
Yeah, I can see why. So did they find a solution for that one?
After a lot of discussion, they agree on a pretty unique compromise. ID changes will only be allowed if the player has legally changed their name and that is reflected on their driver's license.
Talk about setting a high bar, you know?
That's one way to solve it. So, with those ID changes sorted out, what other pressing matters did they tackle? What's next on the agenda?
Well, they have this fund called the Ace and Geary, which is specifically for rewarding hole-in-ones. But there's some confusion over a rule interpretation known as the Doed conjecture.
Okay, I am intrigued. What is the Doed conjecture and why is it causing so much trouble? It all boils down to whether a hole-in-one that is negated by something called an anti-Shapiro still qualifies for the prize. It's a really nuanced debate that gets to the heart of what they consider, you know, like a true ace.
Okay, break it down for me. What's an anti-Shapiro?
It's essentially a penalty stroke that can be applied in certain situations.
Right.
And in this case, it negated the hole-in-one.
Okay.
So the question is, you know, does that penalty diminish the achievement of, you know, getting the ball in the hole in one shot?
Oh, I see. So it's like a philosophical question as much as a rules question. So what did they decide?
They ultimately decided that a hole-in-one negated by an anti-Shapiro does not count toward the Ace and Geary Fund. But they also took the opportunity to clarify, the rules around other types of aces, like those made in the EMF and EMF Sprint, to avoid any future confusion.
Right. Get ahead of it.
Exactly.
Okay. So that makes sense. So with the Doed conjecture settled, are we ready to move on?
Yes. But remember, we are still just scratching the surface of these minutes. There is so much more to uncover about the majors and their unique way of doing things.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break, and then we'll dive back in to see what other fascinating details these minutes have in store for us.
So we're back and still digging through these Winter Summit minutes from the majors.
Yeah, it's like a treasure trove of quirky rules and traditions and,
oh, yeah,
and intense debates.
It really is. Yeah.
It's amazing.
They take this stuff seriously.
So what else do they cover in the meeting?
Well, remember they had that rained out event?
Yeah.
The Erlenmeyer flask?
Right.
It sparked the discussion about whether they should invest in weather control technology.
Wait, seriously? Weather control? Are you kidding me?
I know, right? I mean, it shows their dedication to playing no matter what, but they ultimately decide to only cancel events for truly extreme weather. You know, practicality wins out in the end.
That's probably for the best. So what about the EMF Sprint? You mentioned some interesting rules around that one earlier.
Oh, right. Yeah. They have very specific rules about displaying the World No One golf towel.
Okay.
You get penalized for showing it off when you're not the champ.
Yeah.
But you also get penalized if you are the champ and don't display it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you have to show it off.
You got to show it off.
Okay. That's hilarious. It's like a badge of honor, but with like very strict guidelines.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They also talked about the Ultima test and final exam, two events where they considered using a live tracking system, but for some reason they decided against it.
I wonder why. Was it too high tech for them?
It's hard to say from the minutes alone, but it does make you curious about their reasoning. They also briefly touch on a topic called the CERB.
Okay.
But it's shrouded in mystery. Apparently, it led to some serious accusations and even calls for someone's firing.
Ooh, juicy. I wish we had more context.
Me too. But unfortunately, the minutes don't go into detail. They move on to discuss the new world ranking, which now comes with a, quote, sweet-ass towel, end quote, for the champion.
Okay, I'm sensing a theme here.
Yeah.
These guys love their towels.
They do. And then they transition into a discussion about communication, specifically their Discord channels.
Okay.
They have dedicated channels for hot items and headline updates, which is, you know, how they keep everyone informed.
So tech savvy in some ways, but not in others.
Right, right. Exactly. Did they propose any new channels?
Yeah, any new channels.
Someone suggested a Stonks channel for sharing stock tips.
Makes sense.
But that idea was met with silence.
Ooh, really?
Yeah. Again, it leaves you wondering what their thought process was.
Maybe they just want to keep their investments private.
Maybe, yeah.
All right. So we're getting towards the end of the meeting. What else is left on the agenda?
Well, they reiterate that the Discord Winter Summit channel is strictly for proposing topics for this meeting, not for debating them. You know, they want to save all the back and forth for when they're all together in person.
Makes sense, yeah. So with all the important business out of the way, did they wrap things up quickly? Or is there more?
Not quite. They had one more important item to address, the Dead to Me voting.
Wait, what is that? It sounds kind of ominous.
It's a system where members can vote to expel other members from the league.
Why?
Kind of like a last resort if, you know, someone really isn't fitting in or is causing problems.
Okay, so did anyone get kicked out this year?
Surprisingly, no. But the minutes do mention that many people received votes. They even have a Majors Hurt Feelings report document any emotional fallout.
They have a report for everything.
I know.
That's both hilarious and kind of heartwarming. Like, they really take this stuff seriously.
They do. And after all that, the meeting finally adjourns with a general sense of accomplishment, despite some, you know, unresolved issues.
You know, what's striking to me is just how much they managed to cover in just those couple of hours.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Finances, rules, sponsorships, technology, even interpersonal conflicts.
Yeah.
It's clear they're passionate about the majors.
Mm.
And keeping it running smoothly.
Absolutely. And what I find particularly interesting is, you know, how they're constantly grappling with this balance between tradition and change.
Right.
You know, they clearly value their established rituals and ways of doing things, but they're also willing to adapt and evolve as needed.
It's like they're trying to find that sweet spot between, you know, preserving their unique identity and keeping things fresh and exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not always easy. I mean, think about their debate over the scorekeeping app. They're hesitant to embrace new technology,
right?
But they also recognize that it could make things more efficient.
Mm, right. And that tension is what makes this whole like deep dive so fascinating. You know, we're seeing a microcosm of how communities, both online and offline, are navigating these same challenges in the digital age.
Yeah, you're so right. This is about way more than just a sports league, right?
Yeah.
It's about belonging, identity, and the evolving nature of human connection.
Exactly. And it makes you wonder, you know, what the future holds for the majors. Will they be able to maintain their unique spirit as they grow and adapt? Or will they eventually succumb to, like, the pressures of conformity?
That's a great question. And it's one we'll have to leave our listeners to ponder. But before we sign off completely, we have a few final thoughts and takeaways to share. Stay with us as we wrap up this deep dive into the world of the majors.
Welcome back to the deep dive. I don't know about you, but I am exhausted after going through these minutes. It feels like we just attended that Winter Summit meeting ourselves. It's true. They pack a lot into those couple of hours. But I think that really speaks to how much they care about the majors. You know, this isn't just a casual hobby for them. It's something they invest a lot of time and energy into.
Yeah, yeah. They're meticulous about the rules. They're passionate about the traditions. And they clearly thrive on the competition. But what really stands out to me is the sense of community. You know, they might bicker and debate, but at the end of the day, they're a team.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the biggest takeaways here. You know, the power of shared experiences to create a sense of belonging. The majors might be built around sports, but it's clearly about much more than that. You know, it's about friendship, it's about camaraderie, and the joy of being part of something bigger than yourself.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it makes you wonder, what's the secret sauce? What makes their community so successful?
Well, for one thing, they have a strong sense of identity. You know, they've created their own unique world with its own, you know, language, rituals, inside jokes, and that shared history that binds them together and makes them feel distinct from you know, from the outside world.
Right, right. Like those sweet ass towels.
Yeah.
For the champions. Or the ongoing saga of the missing AJC stickers. Those little quirks, they might seem insignificant to an outsider, but they're part of what makes the majors so special to its members.
Exactly, exactly. And another key ingredient is their commitment to fairness and balance. You know, they might be competitive, but they also want to make sure that everyone has a chance to succeed.
Yeah.
Think about, you know, their discussions on handicaps and the Dode conjecture. They're constantly refining the rules to make things as equitable as possible.
Yeah, and it's not just about the rules, right? They also have systems in place to address interpersonal issues, like that that Majors Hurt Feelings report.
Right, exactly.
They clearly recognize that strong communities require more than just shared interests. They also need healthy ways to navigate, you know, conflict and disagreement.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. The Majors shows us that successful communities are built on a foundation of shared values, clear communication, and a willingness to adapt and evolve over time. You know, it's a recipe for success that we can all learn from, whether we're part of a sports league, a social club, or even just a group of friends.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, what's the one thing you hope our listeners will take away from this episode?
I hope they'll be inspired to seek out and nurture their own communities, whether it's through, you know, shared hobbies, passions, values. There's incredible power in connecting with others who get you. And the Majors is just one example of how meaningful those connections can be.
That is beautifully said. And if you're already part of a community, whether it's online or offline, take a moment to appreciate the things that make it special. Celebrate the traditions, embrace the quirks, and don't be afraid to have those tough conversations that ultimately make the group stronger.
And who knows, maybe someday we'll have a chance to do a follow-up deep dive on the Majors and see how they're continuing to evolve.
That would be amazing. But for now, we want to hear from you. What stood out to you in these minutes? What resonated with your own experiences in groups and communities? Share your thoughts with us on social media, and be sure to check out the show notes for links to any resources we mentioned. Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive. We'll see you next time.